Enjoying my worship session. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, it's good to see some new faces out there tonight. And I'll just give that to you. Praise God. Well, I left you hanging there for a minute, huh? That's because you guys had done such a good job. I was just up here worshiping the Lord. Amen. I want you to know it's important for us to worship the Lord. Listen, there are some things that are just critical to your life. Critical to your life in Christ. Worship is one of those. Prayer. Reading the Word of God. Praise. I tell you what, sometimes you just need to have a praise-a-thon, amen? And just be in a thankful place with God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm telling you right now that we need to make sure that our spirits and our hearts are open to the Lord and that we are moving with Him. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I have just a couple announcements today. And one is that I want to remind everybody that the ladies' Christmas party is going to be on Saturday the 11th. And it's going to be at 1 o'clock, okay? So the ladies' Christmas party is going to be on Saturday the 11th. Then I also want to remind everybody that we are going to have a Christmas Eve worship service that we have every year, and that will start at 6 p.m., so God is going to be good to us during that. And then the other announcement I want to make is I know that you guys are all aware that this weekend will be the funeral for Brother Bob Hoovler. And we want to continue to keep his family up in prayer. and that is going to take place at Price Funeral Home, and it's going to be from 4 to 8 visiting hours on Friday. Then the funeral will be at 1 o'clock on Saturday. Then we'll go immediately from there to the gravesite. And then what's going to happen is we're going to come back here and have a dinner for the people who would like to come back and have dinner here. So even tonight, after we get done with service, if you can help us, we're going to be rearranging and setting up some tables so that we can get that ready tonight. So we would thank you for that. And then with that being said, I think it is time. And they look like they're ready, Pastor Jared. They want to get out of here. They've heard enough from this guy. Hallelujah. So we're going to release the children to go to children's church. And they're going to have a good time tonight. And then for the rest of us, hallelujah, it's offering time. And tonight, I just want to remind you that the Lord says two things. Number one, he says in his word, bring ye the tithe into the storehouse. And so what the Lord means by that is that your tithe should go into the local church that you're a part of. And the Lord says, because of that, not only will he put meat in the house, but God says that there are many things that he's going to do for you. Number one, it says that he will open up the windows of heaven for you. The Bible also says that the Lord himself will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. And I tell this story from time to time. Maybe you've heard me tell it before. But this one time, I was driving from St. Mary's to where I had to go to work. And there was a two-lane road that I was on. And I was on this two-lane road, and we're driving at 65 miles per hour or so. And I'm actually passing a vehicle, and this big deer gets by the first vehicle, but just slams into mine. Kaboom! And I went, oh, my gosh, and I pull over, and I get out, and I walk in front of my car, and guess what? I did not have one piece of damage on my vehicle at all. And I was sitting there praying about it, and I just said, God, what is this? And he said, Philip, have you ever prayed protection over your vehicle from a deer? And I said, Lord, not that I can know of. He said, well, just remember, this is the time where I rebuke the devourer. And what I'm telling you is that there are often constant times where God is taking care of things, and there are things that you don't even know were coming across your path because of the goodness of God and his ability to protect you from them. Amen? So I tell you what, let's make sure that we're tithing. Let's make sure that we're giving offerings. Boy, I know this guy understands tithing because he could give you a testimony of where they started from where they are today. But many of us are in that same situation, and we're just going to pray over tithe and offering and bring it up and be thankful. Father, in the name of Jesus, now, Lord, we thank you that you have put your hand on our life, Father. Not just in one area, but every area, Father. Lord, you touch us physically. You touch us in our soul, our spirit, in our emotion realms, our mental realm, God. And, Father, you touch the physical, financial places of our life, God. And, Lord, we just thank you, God, that as we're faithful to tithe and give offerings, Father, you are faithful to do all that you do on our behalf, Father. And, Lord, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Bring your tithe and offering to the Lord. Praise Jesus. Amen. I tell you what, our God is a good and a faithful God. Amen. And I want to speak to you tonight on something. And guess what? It's going to be a very good message tonight. Although when I tell you the title, it might not seem like it, because our whole thrust of our message tonight is going to be, let's judge ourselves. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's a great topic, Pastor. But before I even get into that, the first thing I want you to know is that the Bible says this about our Lord and Savior, that he was slain from the foundations. And what that means is that even before God himself had ordered and set up the things that we were going to get to enjoy as people on this earth, that it was laid out that Jesus was going to be the one who would come and be the one who would save us and help us and fix our situation. Amen? And so with that being said, I want you to also know something, that your time on this earth is ordained of God. Now, you might not know it, you might not have understood it or believe it, but I'm telling you right now tonight that your date of birth and who you were born to and when you were born was not one bit of a surprise to our Father in heaven. And I also want to remind you of something here, that when you give your life to the Lord, and you might hear this again on Sunday, so if you do, just be ready to hear it again. But if you really want to know how important you are to God, just think about the very fact that when you gave your life to the Lord, Shane, can you believe that? That when you gave your life to the Lord, God stopped heaven and had a celebration over it. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Now, if the Lord did that for you, when you first gave him your heart, how much more so do you think the Lord wants to be in relationship with you and hear from you now? And so when I talk to you about what I talk to you about tonight, first of all, you know, the whole subject of judgment is something that we have to handle differently in the body of Christ than what the world's perspective is of judgment. Because the minute I bring up the word judgment, everybody gets out of kilter. Everybody gets a little rattled, you know. First of all, I hear a bunch of false doctrine. Well, you're not supposed to judge anybody. Okay, that's the biggest lie from the pit of hell that I've ever heard. One of them. Uh-oh. Boy, I'm stepping on toes already. Oh, some of you guys are puffed up a little bit right now. I stepped on one of your pride and joy places. You're not supposed to judge me. Listen, that is not the type of judgment that we're talking about in the Bible. You know, when you think about judgment the way the Lord wants you to think about it, especially when he asks you to judge yourself, think about this: judging the distance of something. Judging the decision to turn in front of that car or wait for that car to go by you. See, there are judgments that you make all the time that are healthy judgments that if you're not careful, the devil will try to steal from you that line of course for your life. You ain't going to tell me nothing. I'm going to be what I want. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do it the way I want to. Uh-oh. You better check yourself. I don't want to go to the streets, but there's an old term that says you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Amen? And really what I want to do tonight is I really want to take some time to talk about judgment, to talk about wisdom, and to talk about how God speaks to us and what the Lord wants to say to us. And we're going to look at this for just a few minutes. And God is going to do some really good things in our spirit tonight. And the first thing I want to do is I want to look right here, and the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31, For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together into condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. What I really want to concentrate on here is, for If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. For when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. I want you to understand something, that if you are allowing yourself to judge yourself, you're going to first understand that you judge yourself by the word. Hello. I want you to know something, that every one of us as believers should be making judgments really on a daily basis based upon the word and how we're living our life. And I want you to know something, that once you read it in the word, it is the gospel. And guess what? No matter what you were taught by mom or dad, no matter what you were taught by life's experiences, and no matter what you were taught by your friend down the road, once you read something in the word of God, that becomes what you judge your life by, and that becomes what is truth to you. Amen? Amen? The Bible says that if you would judge yourself, then you would not be condemned. Do you know that God has an expectation of you that you would not be ignorant in any situation? You know, in 1 Thessalonians, I believe it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Bible says, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, about those who are asleep in Christ. And I would not want you to be concerned to know that if they went before you, when the Lord returns, you will not stop them from being in heaven just like you're going to be in heaven. Amen? And when the Bible begins to teach us something and say, hey, I would not want you to be ignorant, I want you to understand something, that one of the worst mistakes Christians make is that once they are saved, they don't take personal time to apply the Bible to their life. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Listen to me. I want you to understand something, that every subject in the Word of God is good for you to understand, and every subject in the Word of God is good for you to have a piece of. Now, before I go too much farther, and before I tap into some other things I want to discuss with you tonight, I just want to bring up a scripture that is very much one that people try to use to say that we cannot judge them or that we shouldn't judge them. And people love this scripture, and I love it too, because it says here in Matthew chapter 7:1, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite! Now here is the part that we like to ignore. See, we like that first part. Judge not, don't judge me, and all that stuff. But we forget this part. It says, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Oh, my goodness. So what we find out is the mote or the beam is not acceptable. And we find out that it's not that you shouldn't be judging your brother. It's just that you better make sure that your life is in order before you judge your brother. See, I want to remind you that part of the Bible responsibility is iron sharpens iron. And you know, sometimes we think about this as saying, well, our brother's in Christ. Well, you got a lot of brothers in Christ because guess what? Your husband becomes a piece of iron. Amen? For us men, our wives become a piece of iron. Hallelujah. Listen, I hope we have some friends that are pieces of iron. You know, I'll tell you what, there's been times where my son has been a piece of iron. I don't like to tell that. He'd like to puff his little chest up if he was in here right now. But seriously, I can remember one time Philip was 3 years old, and me and his mom was discussing finances, and we were worried about it, and we were concerned about it. And out of the back seat, Philip said, Jehovah Jireh, Mommy. In other words, he was letting us know, why are we all worried and stressing when we have a God who will meet all of our needs? See, I want you to understand something, that this is critical for you to understand, that it was not at all that there shouldn't be judgment going on in the body of Christ. In fact, the Bible says that we should judge ourselves and that we should hold each other accountable. In fact, I'll really make you upset. There's a scripture that says that if you have a brother that's found with something wrong in his life, go to him one-on-one. If he doesn't retract, go with the church, with a witness from the church. And then if he doesn't retract, bring him up in front and reject him and kick him out. So I'm telling you that judgment is very much an important part of the body of Christ, but it should be done with love, it should be done with care, and it should be done with biblical, objective balance and basis to it. Amen? So now, when we think about these things, I also want to look here at Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Because here goes another one. Therefore, I want to go to the book of John. Chapter 7, verse 24. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Here goes another one. Do you know that sometimes your judgment should not be just on outward appearances of things? It says here that our judgment should be a righteous judgment. Do you understand that there should be a discernment by the Holy Spirit of God that should help you judge a lot more by what you see and what you hear by your ears? And I'm telling you that there's a time for all of us to start really taking a look at what's going on in the world and making sure that we have seriously considered what's there and considered who we are, how we're going to live, and what we're going to do with our life going forward. And there is a need for us to know what the Bible stance is on everything because the world's changing a lot, amen? And I want you to know something, that the Bible says that we ought to honor the laws of the land, amen? And we certainly want to do our part to honor the laws of the land. But I'll also show you many times in the Bible where it got to the point where there were people who had to stand up for what their faith was, even though the law of the land at the time didn't support it. Amen? Remember what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Remember what happened to Daniel? You know, we want to honor the laws of the land, and we do want to be a part of showing forth a good name in our community. But also there comes a point where we have to sit there and say, on this item here, I can't compromise. When I think about a righteous judgment, you know, we won't get into details of it, but when I think about a righteous judgment, for me as a pastor, when I considered marriage, marriage has to be a certain way. And I have to make a righteous judgment about that, even though the law might consider and allow something else. Amen? So we need to make sure that the way that we are judging and the way that we're doing life is a righteous thing. Now, I want to just take you through a couple things here in the Bible. Praise God. And I'm going to read to you something right here in the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou should be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Boy, those are harsh words, aren't they? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You know what? I want you to understand something, Christians. There is a lot of suffering and a lot of difficulty that goes on, even in the life of believers, because we have a lack of knowledge of what we should and should not allow into our life. There are guidelines in the Bible for the type of things that you have going on in your life There's guidelines in the Bible for what should be allowed in your house and not allowed in your house. There's guidelines in the Bible what should be in your relationships and not in your relationships. And the Bible says that my people physically, God says my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. I want you to understand something. Some of God's people are suffering poverty, lack, hurt, and difficulty because they have not opened their spirit up to the understanding that God needs to be helping them on a daily basis. And I want us to understand that there are times where we need to press into God, especially when we have situations that are above our pay grade, so to speak, or situations that are above us. We need to be pressing in to let God show us how and what we need to be doing in certain areas. And look what it says right here in the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verse 13. It says, therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. And this is a result of people not understanding what they should be doing and how they should be handling their authority in the Lord. See, I want you to understand something. Do you know that there are people in the body of Christ who still believe that Satan is stronger than they are? There's people in the body of Christ who still believe that some of the suffering they have going on in their life, which has nothing to do with God for their life, is allowed to be there. There are just things that people have going on inside of their life that the Lord would not even want them to have or to go through in any way, shape, or form. I want to just show you something here in the book of Hebrews, and then I'm going to begin to open up some scriptures to you that I want you to grab a hold of and see what the Lord would put in your spirit. But it says right here in Hebrews chapter 6, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal life. What I really want to look at here is that the foundation of the repentance from dead works. I want you to understand something. That when you judge yourself, basically it means that you're going to live a life of repentance. Hallelujah. Amen, Pastor. That sounds wonderful. What that means truly is that repentance from dead works are not just the things that you did in the past that you repented of, but really true repentance of dead works that the Bible's talking about is the revelation of the word that causes you to think differently than you used to. It's when I read the word and I had to give up our old Walker doctrine that said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and that every time somebody said something to you, you had to fight it out with them. That was a doctrine, buddy. We just believe that, man. If you said something to me, it was time for us to throw down. You know, you had to give that up. You have to realize, no, I'm not going to fight with my enemies. How about if I pray for them? How about if I do something nice to them? How about if I try to become a friend to them? Wow. See, that's where we get into repentance from dead works. I'll tell you what, there was a one time where I even had an old pastor of mine. I won't tell you what denomination or anything. But you know what he said to me? One time he said, oh, you can't get married till you sow your oats for a while. And I said, what in the world is that? Said, that's not what the Bible says. But that's what we are teaching as a doctrine. See, that's the kind of dead works and dead talking that needs to be destroyed. A man would be graced to find a wife, and he should be the handsome husband of one wife for all of his days, if possible. And those are the types of things, amen, hallelujah. And those are the types of things that we find are the kind of repentance from dead works and the kind of self-judging that should be taking place when we're talking about this kind of thing. I love it when I get to preach these messages that are way different than what I thought I might be preaching. But I just want to share a couple things with you here, because it says in the book of James, chapter 1, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Wow, boy, we touched on that just a little bit earlier, but I want you to know something. We can never give up, amen? We can never give up. In the faith life, it doesn't matter what you run into. You have to allow God to let you recover. You have to allow God to get you up, and you have to allow God to set your feet, because he will work things out for you. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. See, this is why we got to judge ourselves. And this is why we have to seek God on issues, especially when we don't know what to do and we don't know what we're thinking about. This is when we need to go to the Bible and we need to pray and we need to get God's insight, because the Lord is faithful to give you wisdom and clarity and direction. I tell you what, I have found God to be faithful. When I'm praying about something and I don't know what to do about something, no matter what that category is, when I allow God the right to just go to him and say, Father, I need help. And listen, you don't have to be specialist at it. You just go and say, Lord, I need help. And you just pray. And I'm telling you, God will give you wisdom. And I'm telling you that we should be seeking wisdom, not just when we have a need, but it should be something in our spirit that we seek wisdom on an ongoing basis. I tell you what, when things are going well, we ought to be seeking God. When things are going good, that's when we ought to be judging ourselves. When things are happening in a good way is when we ought to be checking and checking in with the Lord and praying and seeing and getting ourselves in order so we can see an outcome of God. Amen? It is something that should be pressing into us on a day-to-day basis. I just want to share a few things with you, because I really want us to see how clear this is, even for Jesus himself. I know this might seem strange to you, but I love this scripture because it makes me think about the Lord, and it just makes me think about how good he is. I'm glad those babies are talking, because somehow I looked up the wrong scripture, so I'm just going to remind you that there's a scripture in the book of Luke that says that the Lord himself sat there and said that Jesus Christ grew in favor with God and man. Did you understand that? Your Lord and Savior, who was perfect on this earth and was who without sin, the Bible actually says that he grew in favor with God and with man. That should be a wake-up call to any of us. Because I tell you what my heart is and what my hope is, I definitely want to grow in favor with the Lord. And if I grow in favor with men while I'm seeking out God, more better to it. But I will also tell you this, that one thing I have noticed is that when I seek God, I'm a better worker. When I seek God, I'm easier to get along with. When I seek God, I have found... Watch that over there. I have found that when I seek God, I end up getting favor with men. I can tell you the amount of times that I've received promotions and just things have happened, and it's just been God's favor and God's ability to come in when we allow him into our situations and we allow him to get better and better. The other thing that I want to tell us about while we're sitting here and we're judging ourselves and seeking ourselves, spend time in prayer. I can't tell you how many times that I've been in prayer and thought I was going to go pray about something else or for someone else that I thought needed it. And before I knew it, the Lord was giving me a little checkup. Yeah, amen. A little checkup from the neck up. The Lord was straightening me out. But what I really want you to understand here is that when you are judging yourself, be open in the times of prayer to allow God to speak to you so you can hear what he has to say. I love it because you can look at Mark chapter 1 or you can look at Luke chapter 5, 16 through 19. It says that Jesus went away to pray. And he'd be in the middle of things and he would pull himself away to pray. But it always says that when he came back, guess what? The presence of the Lord and the power of God was there to heal and to set free and to do. Why? Because when we spend time in the presence of the Lord, he will spend time with us. And when he spends time with us, it brings a change that will help us on a day-to-day basis. Amen? So tonight, I want us to practice judging ourselves. And what that means is that we clearly saw here in the Bible where judging ourselves means that we're gonna challenge ourselves to be what the Word of God says. That we're going to judge our life, our culture, our everything, and we're going to lay down what we've always thought or what we've always known, and we're going to pick up what the Bible says on any subject that we find related to us in the Bible. Amen? Because that is what's required of the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just declare your glory. God, we just declare your goodness, Father. Lord, I thank you for the little ones that are helping me preach tonight, Father. Hallelujah. Out of the mouth of babes, hallelujah. But God, I just declare that your glory and your blessing would come upon us, Father. And as we judge ourselves, God, and as we allow your word to work in our lives, God, every day we will see the blessing and the goodness of God come upon us in new ways, Father. And Lord, we just declare it and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Just a little bit of music here. There's at least one young man that I want to pray for down here. Hallelujah. Amen. Come out here, Mr. Paul. How are you doing? Amen. Listen, Father, I just pray, God, right now, that, Lord, you're just...